Free Fire Radio. The phone lines are open at 221-1402. And now, Free Fire Radio.
It's about to commence on News Talk 1400 KQMS.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. It's a beautiful 9th of February. Sun's shining, but you know what's going to happen? It's even better this week. It's going to rain. And we need rain for a thousand different reasons. But, of course, I'm being joined today by our regular crew. Frosty, Kelly Frost Jr.
Good morning. How are you doing on this
Monday? Fine. What are you going to do with that $78 million you won?
I didn't want anybody to know.
Sorry. That's right, girls. Kelly Frost Jr. won $78 million, or so he says. And, of course, soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. I wish that someone could track the family or the person who won this money. It's interesting to see, you know, where do you go from the place that you've been to all of a sudden being a multi-millionaire, especially in these times.
Well, you know what I have read and seen so many times is that the people that win these, in many, many cases, the vast majority of these cases are broke within years. Their families break up. They have all types of problems.
Well, I think it's probably some form of, and I know this may sound funny, but it's post-traumatic stress. It's like all of a sudden you get stressed out with, what do I do with this? What am I supposed to do? It's almost a guilt. There's so many things. But
I think
on a positive note,
yes.
Congratulations.
Oh, to the person who won the
$78
million.
You might think about, you know, giving
sponsoring
some of that.
Our show.
Well, I don't know if you. I might be a little groggy this morning because I stayed up till 11:30 and watched the entire Grammy show in and out of potty training our puppy, which means that every 30 minutes or 20 minutes you're outside in the rain. But anyway, so the Grammys was very interesting. And of course, the night before, my old cronies, the Gold Diggers, were there. Six of the girls were there while Dean Martin and his family, and Dean Martin and Spirit got a Lifetime Achievement Award the night before at the Grammy party. So Sunday I'm on the phone, heart bleeding, wishing I was there, hearing about the party the night before. So I was up watching the Grammys last night. I thought it was really the material was well crossed. In other words, they had jazz. They had great guitarists, great musicianship. They had a little punk. They had Paul McCartney. They had Neil Diamond. And of course, Jennifer Hudson with her performance that was just, you know, it wasn't the Super Bowl, but she sang a song that just made you rip your heart out. So anyway, congrats on a kind of an interesting Grammy show. I can't believe we're at break already.
Already. And you know, we have a special guest today.
Yes, we do.
David Keogh, county supervisor. In fact, and Dave represents the city of Reading.
So, born and raised here.
Born and raised here. In fact, he was born at the end of our street.
That's right.
And Miss Anderson's maternity
home.
Wow.
Miss Anderson's maternity home.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Miss Anderson's maternity home and what it is today. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. We come back, we're going to discuss the state of the county or the county of the county, where we're at, where it's going, and that chance for us to make a huge statement to Sacramento. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of our show is brought to you by Robert W. Logan, attorney at law, 1350 Placer Street, specializes in bankruptcy cases, civil and criminal law. Robert's going to be here Thursday. You're going to ask the lawyer. He's going to be addressing any topic that you all call in about. Here's your chance to get some free legal advice.
On bankruptcy, specifically
yeah,
that
bankruptcy
day.
Or anything else. Now, okay, before we get to Dave, I just want to get everybody's blood running this morning. Get your cups of coffee. Get your telephone. Did you know that there are irreplaceable people? Yes, The University of Chicago Medical Center hired this woman in 2002 to run programs for community relations, neighborhood outreach, volunteer recruitment, staff diversity, and minority contracting. In 2005, the hospital raised her salary from $120,000 to $317,000, nearly twice what her husband made as a senator. Oh, that's right. Her husband had become a U.S. senator, and he had requested a $1 million earmark for the University of Chicago Medical Center, in fact. Way to network. Now, who is that? Oh, Michelle Obama. That's right. She's resigned. The hospital says her position will remain unfilled. How can that be? If her work was worth $317,000 a year, how could it be that, or is it just that there's no senator's wife that wants that job? I don't know. Okay. Dave.
Thanks.
We met Dave today, and he is an extremely outgoing personality here, which you need to be to just survive in this group. But tell us what's going on with our county. We know we're in trouble.
Well, first of all, Carl and Linda, top of the morning to both of you. It's a real pleasure to be with you this morning. You know, your program is very well received in the city of Redding, Shasta County, and it's truly an honor to be here.
Well,
especially
thank you.
Since you keep the ball rolling all the time. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. In case you're just tuning in, we are on, our studio guest is David Kehoe, who's supervisor of District 1 here in Shasta County. So we're taking your calls 221-1402. Shoot.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Carl, when you called me, you asked for a state of the county, and I'll be pleased to do that. As you may know, for the last 3 years, we've had a formal state of the county breakfast. But this year, because of diminished fundings, we've decided not to do that. It's part of our strategy to make cuts wherever we can in county government, and so we're not doing that. However, the good news is that all of the supervisors and all of the staff are available for public presentations. They're available to answer questions that you might have. Now, getting back to you, Colonel. What are we doing in Shasta County? Well, as I think most of your listeners know, there are difficult times in cities and counties in education in California, and I think the most difficult aspect of that is that we don't know what's going to take place. We don't know where the cuts are being made. You read the news.
Talk in the microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was pointing at the microphone and you turned. I'm sorry.
I'm so used to looking at people in the eye when I'm talking to them. But
look at Kelly.
Okay. Kelly, take your hood off so I can see what you really look like. Anyway, there's been a lot of talk coming out of Sacramento about the various cuts that the governor is proposing, the Big Five are proposing, and that's going to make a big impact on us in Shasta County.
Well, you know, I saw something, of course, in the paper that says the Shasta County Department of Education is talking 17 cuts. There's 17 people being let loose. Now, is that teachers? Is that staff? What is that?
I think those questions, Carl, would be best directed to Tom Amelino in the superintendent of schools office. We don't deal in education in Shasta.
Okay, so we don't. You don't really deal in any of the funding or things like
correct.
That. We don't put any money. How about not even for the ROP or not for OASIS or the Juvie? Okay.
What's your biggest pressure right now?
As far as lack of funding, as far as reduction in services, I think it probably falls into the arena of social services, mental health programs, and public health programs. But closely allied to that is the reductions that we anticipate we're going to have to make in public safety. As you know, there are various areas of county government that are directly involved in public safety. The one that comes to mind right off the bat is the sheriff's department, the patrol aspects and running the jail. Second is the district attorney's office, then probation, and then our public defender's office.
Okay.
And one of the Go ahead.
We're going to have to take a quick break here. Okay. But these are very important because I know some of these programs that we're stuck with are mandated by the government and the state. And we want to address that when they're not giving us the money when we come back. This is Carl Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Our guest is Dave Keogh, District 1 Supervisor, County Supervisor. Phone lines here are 221-1402. Put the coffee down. Get ready to rock.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. Hey, it's 40 degrees outside right now. It's 823. Go to KQMS.com. We are streaming live anywhere you go in the country, anywhere in the world. You can hear us from 8 to 9 as long as it's in your time zone. this portion of the show.
I don't care if it's in your time zone. Get up.
Yeah, get up. You deserve a spanking. Anyway, speaking of our good friend, Leonard Silverman from Four Winds Jewelry, welcome back from Panama, buddy.
2225 Hilltop Drive. Leonard was on vacation, and while he was gone, Leonard, just to make you feel good, we were selling stuff at 50% off. So, welcome back home. And I tell you what, you want to go when you want to go. It's getting to be Valentine's Day. He has got the stuff you want to buy. It's great quality at really, really great prices. 2225 Hilltop.
We're with David Kehoe right now, who's our supervisor of District 1. Such an honor to have you here, and we've got some questions to shoot at you. I know Carl's got something up his sleeve.
Well, I continue with what you were going on, Dave, but then I've got some questions about where the money's going and when the money's coming in. So please continue with what you were doing.
Well, to give you and your listeners some background, let me just briefly sketch what our budget looks like this year, and then we can talk about where it's going. I'll just hold this up in front of me so I won't be looking to my left or my right here. So we have a budget in the county of Shasta of approximately $423 million, and of that in the general fund budget is approximately $74 million, and of that, the discretionary amount that we have in the general fund budget is $48,237,000. Now, that money is generated from a limited amount of sales tax money, property tax money, licenses, permits, franchise fines, forfeitures, penalties, and miscellaneous revenue intergovernmental transfers. Of that amount, we spend most of that in providing for the public protection of people here in the county. So that would be the district attorney, as I mentioned earlier, the sheriff, the probation, and the public defender's offices. One of the incongruities that people always bring up is that we have the sheriff goes out and gets the bad guys, and then the district attorney prosecutes them, and when they get done with their sentence, then they go on probation. But if they don't have sufficient resources, then the county pays for a public defender. So the taxpayer, in a way, is paying for both sides of the equation here. As I think, Carl, as you've alluded to, we have very little discretion as to the amount of monies that we have in terms of the total budget. As you know, most of it comes from the federal government and state government, and I'm probably talking too long because you're looking at me in a way.
No.
So I'll let you ask the next question.
Here's the thing is sure. That I understand it's probably like maybe 80% to 85% is funding that you have to spend. It's not discretionary.
Right.
So that leaves that $42 million.
Right.
That has to take up the slack because we had the your Department of Mental Health here, the county, Dr. Montgomery, came in. We talked about suicide. We're going to be probably discussing that later on this week too. Great, great information. He brought his people in here, but we could be really hurting in this department if we don't get some money.
Yeah, in several respects, as you both know, the governor and the people in Sacramento are proposing a deferment of payment to the counties. It could be as high as $16 million. That means that the county is faced with one of two decisions. Number one, it backfills that $16 million or thereabouts with county reserve accounts or money from the county, or we have to make reductions in services. And really the striking irony here is that people who need the services most in our community are always hurt the most when folks in Sacramento make these draconian reductions. I think it's important to remember that the county governments, 58 counties in California, they are subdivisions, direct subdivisions of the state of California. We are administering these programs for the state of California. And so when the cuts...
Go on.
When the cuts are made, it affects people here at the local level, and the reciprocal probably isn't seen too much in Sacramento.
Okay, we've got to take a quick break here, but one of the things is that due to a mistake that Schwarzenegger made, he cut off all the funding for the elderly to get meals on wheels, to be able to get together, so we can feed our elderly here because of an error made by the governor's office. This is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. We come back, we're going to talk about maybe a little taxpayer revolt here.
Welcome back. I'll tell you something on those breaks. If you could only see and hear what goes on those breaks, that's where the juice boils. Carl.
All right. Okay, 87% or 85% is mandated by the state. We have then approximately 13% or 17%, depending on what you want to look at, that we have discretionary funding. The state is telling us you have to spend your money, and yet they're not giving us money. Why don't we hold the money that we make from taxes from the state and pay these bills?
And I think Linda now will answer that question. Well, I think you're making reference to some counties down in Southern California that have threatened to withhold receipts to the state of California. And it seems to me that that's kind of a visceral reaction to the devastating financial effects that their counties are dealing with. I would be reticent to take any sort of a spontaneous action, keeping in mind that there's probably going to be a consequence of that action. However, that is not to say that we should not register in a very cogent and forceful way our concerns about what's going on down in Sacramento. You know, I made some notes in anticipation of that type of question, Carl, I'm kind of thinking back to the days of 1942 when FDR, and that was a very perilous time for the country, and at that time he went on radio, much like this program, I would imagine, and he did three things. Number one, he very clearly and succinctly explained the situation to the country. Number two, he took a realistic approach about the situation. And then number three, he was optimistic about what was going to happen. Now, you know, I think everybody would agree that that's a pretty good approach to take. The difficulty that we're faced with is that we don't know what the heck's going on in Sacramento. So how can we plan in a very direct fashion what our response is going to be? What we have done is for the last year, maybe the last 18 months, we have taken a very conservative, financially conservative approach to running Shasta County. You know, we haven't inflated our workforce. We've stabilized the workforce. We've looked at a myriad of ways to cut down on expenses. I think that we are well positioned to deal with the havoc that that Sacramento is going to foist upon us.
So, well, in other words, you're looking at that our future. How does one look at the future at not being bleak with government decisions?
I think it's important to look at it realistically. I understand the nature of the question. However, I have a great deal of faith in our professional staff. I have a great deal of faith in my four colleagues on the board. I think we're prepared to make difficult decisions, but I think those decisions have to be grounded on serving the needs of our community as best we can. You know, I think there's a propensity on the part of a lot of people in government to whine about what's going on in Sacramento and to say, gee, those folks are they're causing all this difficulty, and they are causing difficulties, but it's incumbent upon us to manage our affairs, to manage the resources that have been given to us in a judicious fashion, in an efficient and an effective way. And so I
yeah, it's called keeping your part of the ship watertight. And that's what you're doing. You're keeping your section of that ship afloat. Now, let me tell you what a senior officer told me one time.
Yes, sir.
After that was, you can keep your part afloat. You can keep yours watertight and running well. But when the captain of the ship runs to the ground, there ain't a lot of things you can do about it. And right now, where you, and I know all the Shasta County supervisors personally, and I know that you all are stewards of what you have. And as far as, I know that you also are an optimist, Dave. I'm not an optimist, but a person that looks in a positive sense, and we need that. But I also look at the people that we've got down in Sacramento. It's day 96. We still don't have a budget. They're talking about 10, 11 budget, or 9, 10 a budget instead of 8, 9 budget. You know, so where are we going with that?
Well, I think, Carl, if we were not so grounded in having to solve the difficulties at the local level, we could have a lot of fun analyzing the inactivity in Sacramento. We could look at how folks down there are wedded to partisan politics, how folks are not concerned about serving the public good, and that is troubling. However, getting back to your analogy about the ship running aground, then I think it's incumbent on the captain to make sure that the right people are on the lifeboats and the right people are saved. And that involves, if I can, in a liberal sense, using that analogy, that involves placing our limited resources on the primary functions of government.
Okay. Don, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. What an interesting conversation. I would like to suggest that we can look to the people of California as being responsible for the situation that we're in, all of us. Because when we go to vote, we put these people right back in office again. They need to be tossed out, and we need to have fresh blood put in there and people that are willing to work with one another and solve these problems. And that's basically my feeling about the entire situation.
Well, Don, you know, you're absolutely right. But, you know, what I've read is that people on a whole think that our elected representatives, both on the national level and the state level, get grades of like 12% approval.
Absolutely correct. That's
yet,
my feelings exactly.
Yet they look at the people that they put into their office, you know, the people that we elect, and say, well, our guys are okay. It's those other people.
I know. It's always on the other side of the fence.
I know, and that's the problem. What we ought to do is we ought to term limit everybody at 6 years or 4 years. We ought to have another party to give the people a chance to vote for somebody. And I think that Shasta County should take the lead in this.
Excellent. Where can I volunteer my services?
Well, I tell you what, Don, that there's going to be a lot of things happening here in the future that we ought to be thinking about how we can change what's going on, and maybe even a convoy down to Sacramento from the North State saying, get your crap together.
I'm all for it, bud.
Hey, all right. Thanks a lot, Don. Hey, you know what? If there's going to be any whining done about the government, it comes out of this office and not the legislature. All right? All right, hey, look, this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio, News Talk 1400 KQMS. Got to take a quick break here. Dave Keogh is our guest, and he's doing great. Join us on the other side. No matter what your age, chances are KQMS. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on News Talk 1400 KQMS. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop. Joe and Shelley got the finest tobacco emporium in the North State, a walk-in humidor. They've got Espresso Joe's. You can get any type of coffee made for you at reasonable prices. The people working there are the finest people. They know what they're talking about, and Joe and Shelley are great Americans. Go down there and visit them and get your supplies there.
Locally owned.
Locally owned. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
Thank you for waiting.
I believe there is only one problem with the once richest state in the Union, and that's the Grover Norquist Republicans who have signed on to and stuck with a no-new tax pledge and an economic downturn. It's a dumb thing to do anyway because of population, and things are always changing.
So you're saying is that with this no-new tax pledge that's going to, you know, that's... And they're holding to that, and that's what's causing the problem.
That is doing it.
Well, now...
If it calls for taxes, you raise taxes. If you cut spending to a certain point, that's where it sits. So what we're waiting for now are the Republicans to come on board. What's going to happen is, hopefully, we'll vote them all out in 2010.
Or what? We spend the money, we do our tax cuts, we close the border to as many illegals as we can, and we start taking a look at how we're spending the money. A great deal of money goes in the places that I just don't think people, you know, there's no transparency to it. Now, should the taxes be raised? Possibly. After you've gone down, just like you said, you've made all the cuts you possibly can make, and if that's not enough, then maybe we do need to increase taxes somewhere.
Well,
but it's got to be done smart. But I agree that we can't just keep doing it the way we are.
Well, the last 8 years, Mexico, their boat rises with ours. So more people have come across because of the poorly run economy over the last 8 years, the Bush economy. You don't, when Mexico is doing well, we don't even hear about the problem. Now we've got thousands of them coming up here, maybe millions, I don't know. So it's when our economy is cranking along real good, and it takes care of everything.
Well, I think, too, but from everything I understand is that there's many of the illegals are going back across the border because the economy has gotten bad here in the last 6 months. So that's a tough way to cut back on illegal immigration is for us to have our economy tank.
Well, they like to live down there. Their family used to stay there. Most of them, they used to send the father or husband would come up and work and go back.
Absolutely. There used to be programs, and I'm all for that, programs for men or women could come across legally. They could work here for 5 or 6 months. They were taken care of. Their money was sent back home, and then at the end of that, they went back. We don't have that anymore.
Well, most of them understand, too, that you have to work to come up here. You can't come up here and become a drugstore cowboy or...
Unless you have a baby.
Yeah. Hey, Richard, you just started, the phone lines are roaring here, so thanks a lot, Richard.
Good, that's what I wanted to do.
Well, it worked. Thanks a lot, sir.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Dave, give us some more here.
Carl, you know, I really appreciate the comments that Don and Richard have made. And let me give you folks, Linda and Carl, a scoop, and also your listeners of the scoop. And that is simply this, that the people that are elected, whether they're at the city or the county or the state or federal government, these folks, including myself, do not have a monopoly on good ideas. It's important that we listen to the comments that your listeners are making, that we internalize those, we evaluate those, and then we march forward. And so I would encourage your listeners that if they have some observations about how we can improve the operations of county government, give me a call. My number is 225-5809. I welcome feedback. I welcome comments. And I'm no different than the other four supervisors. We're interested in hearing what people have to say. We're interested in getting suggestions on how we can make the providing of service better to the people in Shasta County. Now, Carl, you raised an interesting part in that you're talking about the judicious application of cost-cutting remedies and the difficulty that we're faced with in government at every level is you can't open up the budget, whether it's for the city or the county or the state, and turn to page 87 where it talks about waste, duplication of effort, inefficiency. I mean, if it was that easy, we could all turn to that page, knock that out, and then move forward.
How come there's no page 87?
Well, there should be, damn it, Carl.
Whoa! Daniel, good morning.
Good morning.
Shoot, Daniel.
I'm going to accuse our state legislature of dereliction of duty.
It's okay with me.
And I think it's time for the governor to call in the state marshals and lock all those people up until they get something done.
How about just cut their pay? Every day we cut 10% off their pay.
Well, that won't hurt them. What'll hurt them is when they can't go out and try to raise pay by doing speaking engagements and doing other stuff.
Oh, well, I like that. Like that idea too. Then.
So I think it's just time that these folks are locked into a room. We'll toss them in a little bit of crackers, a little bit of cheese, and some water, and that's all they're going to get until they get the job done.
Well, I think some of them could use that. Hey, Daniel, thanks a lot. We've got to take a break.
It's 44 degrees. The time is 8:50. This is Carl and Linda Bott with Free Fire Radio. Our guest today is David Kehoe, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Keep holding on, you guys. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back to you.
Welcome back. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio. We have a special guest in the studio right now. But before we go there, we want to tell you about, oh my gosh, have you been to Vintner Cellar? If you're looking something special to do with your sweetheart, the 13th and the 14th, New Image Photography is going to be there taking special photographs of you and your significant other and printing them right out there on the premises and putting them on a bottle of your choice or just take home a photograph. They are our photographer of choice, New Image Photography, located at 2655 Park Marina Drive. Let's go to the phones. Michael, what is up?
Thanks for waiting, Michael.
Hey, thank you very much, Carl and Linda. I enjoy your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I had a question regarding since our property values have dropped so much here in the North State, I'm wondering if there's a mechanism by which we can have our assessments redone so our property taxes will go down a commensurate amount.
Good question.
Yeah, and absolutely, it's a matter of contacting our local assessor recorder, indicating to them that it was your belief that your property tax has gone down. I know of several people that have already done that successfully, I might add, and so I encourage you to do that. If I can be of assistance in that transaction, as far as putting you together with the right people, I'd be pleased to do it. My number again is 225-5809. That's my direct number. It doesn't go through a switchboard, and I'd be happy to help in any way I can.
Michael,
I appreciate that.
Linda and I did that. We went in and asked for a reassessment, and they dropped our taxes.
Awesome.
And they do it
this week.
Yeah, and you know what? It saved us $1,000 this year.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
And so, yes, but so this is something that all of our listeners can do. If you've got any type of question like that, you go down. They're more than happy to do that. And in some cases, from what they've told us, is they do it automatically. So, anyway, good luck.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You bet. Dave, we'd like to thank you for being here. Got a few minutes left, and thanks for being our guest. And, you know, there's a lot of things, and I know that it's kind of somewhat tongue-in-cheek about holding tax money back from the state, but, you know, they're forcing us to do certain programs here, and yet they're not paying us, and we're having to dip into our reserves, which then, you know, cuts back on our ability to do anything like public safety. Yeah, you know, it just seems like at day 96 on this thing that you know, maybe they need a wake-up call somehow. I'm not sure how to do it.
Well, Carl, thank you for the welcome, and Linda, thank you very much. Years ago when I was in school, I studied philosophy and ethics, and one of the things I keep remembering is that there's an idea of he serves best who serves the truth. So it's time for truth on this radio program. Linda, you're great. I mean, you're fantastic. Carl, you don't have it right here, pal. You're talking about marshaling community resources to lead a demonstration to Sacramento. You've got your priorities wrong. What you ought to be doing is getting your listeners to come to the door here, the radio station, and expand your program to 2 hours. Are you up to the challenge, pal? Are you up to the challenge?
That means we'd have to work 2 hours a day.
We did not put him up to this, trust me.
Oh, this is, he's just, that's because he was born at this little two-story house at the end of our street called Mrs.
Anderson's Maternity Home.
Now, this one is true. Mrs. Adamson's Maternity Home.
Anderson's.
Anderson. If you go up Placer, right across the street from Godfather's Bail Bond, which, of course, to me is, you know, you have a politician being born right across from the bail bondsman, might have something to do with, perception there.
It doesn't speak well, does it?
Well, you know what? You know, at least you were honest about it, you know, unlike many of our other elected representatives who take money and they take influence peddling.
Oh, anyway, thank you, David Kehoe, so much for being our guest. And you know what? It just speaks volumes about somebody who was born and raised, still doing public service and very interested and putting your heart and soul into what's happening with our community.
Thank you.
You bet. Okay, now look, the rest of this week, tomorrow we're going to be discussing the local issues, perhaps Second Amendment issues also. Thursday, Rob Logan, attorney at law, will be here to answer your general questions on law. Addressing bankruptcy just as an initial thing, but anything else is open. And, of course, Friday, we're beginning our listener day on Fridays. That's when you come in and we do our catch-up. Anything that you've been thinking about, it's, as you know, this is open line. You know, this is your show. So this is Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on News Talk 1400 KQMS. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?